The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God gave the Sabbath day to man in order to meet his needs. Very important. I think there are many of us who have come to the place where I was in the emergency room with someone who was taken quickly to the hospital, and some family members came in, and apparently I share this because it relates very well to what we're talking about. And this young man came in, and he was there because the person we were there praying for, not in our fellowship, by the way. This young man comes in the room and he says, "Oh," he said, "I worked 7 days a week for 6 months, and then I had a heart attack." He's yelling this out, and everybody starts looking at each other and starts looking at him. But what was he saying? He's saying, "I overdid it. I overdid it. Working 7 days a week." I don't think God designed our bodies to go 7 days a week. I think he did give us a pattern. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man in order to meet our needs. Now, God's laws, in fact, all of God's laws are for our well-being, all the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was made for man. In fact, God the Father said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Keep my commandments that it may be well with you." In other words, God gave the Sabbath to the people of Israel for their well-being. Now, let's build on that a little bit. God gave the Sabbath to the people of Israel for their well-being, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But God has given us something that is even better than the Sabbath day. You say, whoa, now he's stepping up a little bit here. I'm going to repeat what I just said. God has given us something better than the Sabbath day. He is giving to us the Lord's Day. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is actually the transformation of the Sabbath and the fulfillment of the Sabbath day that is in the Old Testament. We have been given a day, and it will be one of the greatest treasures in our lives as we continue to understand the first day of the week. The word Sabbath means rest, and it's a transliteration of the Hebrew word Shabbat. Now, when you look in Scripture, you see that there are actually three rest days. The first rest day is what we call creation rest. God rested on the seventh day. The second rest is what we're going to call covenant rest. And that's when God asked his people, with whom he had a covenant, the nation of Israel, to rest on the seventh day. But there's a third rest in Scripture. And I like what Adrian Rogers, we're not related at all, that's his name, he's a good pastor of the past generation. He said that he's calling his third rest Calvary rest. He wanted the three C's: creation rest, covenant rest, and Calvary rest. I call it salvation rest from the book of Hebrews. Now let's look at these just briefly. What is creation rest? Well, God created our world, and when he was finished creating our world in 6 days, he rested. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. I would like to read that. There's something about the reading of Scripture that causes us, Genesis chapter 2, to understand and comprehend more of the Word of God. It's okay to hear it, but it's a wonderful thing to see it and hear it as well. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens, Genesis 2, 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished in 6 days. And on the seventh day, Genesis 2, 2, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it, he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, there's several observations that we make from this little section of Scripture and verses related to it. The first is There is no record that God blessed in a specific way the other 6 days. Now, it's true he worked on those 6 days, but it says specifically that he blessed the seventh day. In other words, in blessing it, God made the seventh day for his people Israel a day of special blessing for them. Secondly, after blessing the seventh day, the text of Scripture says he sanctified it. He set it apart. The word to sanctify means to set apart. In fact, we as believers were called sanctified ones. We're separated unto the Lord. When you trust that Jesus is your Savior, you have the whole mass of humanity, and God takes you out of that mass of humanity and brings you in relationship to himself, and he sets you apart. You're very special to the Lord, by the way, as a believer this morning. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love other peoples in the world, but you have been set apart by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God set this day apart for his own purposes. It's a special day for the people of Israel. Thirdly, don't miss this now, man's sin interrupted God's rest. Now, the scriptures say he rested on the seventh day. But Adam and Eve, of course, sinned against God, and they interrupted God's rest. And so, therefore, God had to go back to work. Well, you say, well, he wasn't creating more things. Nobody was doing something. It's what we call the work of redemption. In John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father has been working until now, and I am working." Well, what was the Father and the Son working on from the time man first sinned? They were working on the coming of Jesus Christ to lay down his life for you and for me. Very, very interesting to comprehend this. The second rest is what's called covenant rest. Now, if you'll turn to Exodus 31, I'd like to read this portion of Scripture, Exodus chapter 31, and watch this with me. Exodus 31, we're talking about now, not creation rest, but covenant rest. Exodus 31, 13. 12, to start at 12. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," Exodus 31, 13 now, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sets you apart, who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it," watch this now, "everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." You'll notice that he says that the keeping of the Sabbath day was a sign between God and the people of Israel, because God had chosen the people. Now, we've gone through this before, but why did God choose the people of Israel, the Jewish people? Because through the nation of Israel, God was going to give his word. Most of the writers of Scripture were out of the line of Israel. And also through the people of Israel, through the Jewish nation, God sent the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of Abraham, son of David, Jesus the Messiah. So the keeping of the Sabbath day was a sign between God and the people of Israel. The children of Israel were in a covenant relationship with God. And being in that covenant relationship with God, God wanted them to do as he had done, and he wanted them, therefore, to rest on the Sabbath day. In other words, observing the Sabbath showed that the children of Israel were set apart unto God, and they belong to the God, the Creator God of the universe. So interesting. The other nations around them, they didn't observe a seventh day, a Sabbath day, but the people of Israel did, very unique. So now you have the creation rest, you have the covenant rest, which God gave to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. Now, pause for a minute and think this through with me. We have people today who say that they want to keep the Sabbath, okay, like the people in the Old Testament. They want to worship on the seventh day. But you got to be careful, because if you think you're keeping the Sabbath day, but you break the Sabbath, well, what did it say? We read the passage of Scripture. It says if you work on that day, the punishment is death. And it was in that day. Not so today. It's interesting, in Exodus 31:15, it says, again, if anyone does not work, does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So no, we cannot keep the Sabbath day today, because people work. Now, someone will say, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath day. I'm not going to do any work on the Sabbath day. Well, there were other restrictions that were given by the nation of Israel to the people of Israel. In fact, we'll talk about this. It's very interesting. It even says if you build a fire for cooking on the Sabbath day, that's Exodus 35:3. It says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. So if someone says they're keeping the Sabbath day and do not keep it in relationship to Scripture, they're not really keeping the Sabbath day. In fact, there are 39 words in that passage of Scripture which deals with the Sabbath day. But what the people of Israel did was they added to that 39 words. So there were 39 ways in which they could keep or should keep the Sabbath day, or 39 ways in which they would break the Sabbath day. Then they took those 39 ways and they broke those down into 39 more ways. And that's why Jesus said to the people of Israel, Jesus said, you have made vain the law of God by your traditions. Matthew 15:6. They kept adding things and adding things and requirements for their people. And it was very, very difficult. In fact, the leaders of Israel hated Jesus because they claimed that he broke the Sabbath day. He healed on the Sabbath day. And the Lord, of course, said, should I not show mercy on the Sabbath day? If someone has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, Jesus said to them, will you not lay hold of the sheep and lift it out? Of how much more value then is someone who needs healing? And he healed on the Sabbath day, and it enraged them, and they wanted to crucify him because of what he did. The Old Testament, again, was actually a shadow that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When did God rest? He rested after the 6 days of work of creation. When did Jesus rest? Jesus rested after his resurrection, after his new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Jesus came to work and to give his life on the cross for our sins. And when he died on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. The sacrifice for sin has been paid. No longer will there be animal sacrifices as we see in the Old Testament. But Jesus, our Savior, made that one sacrifice for sin. And he cried out on the cross and said, it is finished. And then the Scriptures say that he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, very quickly, and we're going to really pick up our pace now, go with me to Colossians 2. You really should see this. And again, this is verifying the fact that we are worshiping God not on the Sabbath day, but on the Lord's day. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Very important. Colossians chapter 2. Notice what it says. 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, having nailed it, having taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross, all the sins that were against us, the apostle says, it's just like Jesus took that list and he nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities, powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Let no one judge you, therefore, in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Now, don't miss verse 17. This will really help you. Or Sabbaths, verse 16, which are a shadow of things to come. In other words, the Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath day, was a picture of something to come. And that picture is of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives rest. For Israel, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. And that Sabbath day was designed by God to look forward to the time when the Messiah would come and he would give rest. So therefore, can I say it this way carefully? People today who are trying to keep the Sabbath are really chasing shadows, because the Sabbath day was a shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When Jesus came as the Messiah, his first coming, the nation of Israel, the religious leaders put all kinds of requirements on the people. They had all kinds of things that they had to do. They not only had the scriptures and the things that God mentioned in scriptures, but they placed all kinds of requirements upon the people. And Jesus said, you who are laboring to be right with God, Jesus said, come to me. And you know, it's the same today. If we want forgiveness of sin and eternal life, it's not the things that we do. It's what Jesus did for us. I need a hallelujah on that. He gave his life for us. We do not have to be baptized to be saved. We do not have to, don't take this wrong, we do not have to live a good life. We don't have to be a good employee. Look, God wants those things. He wants us to live a good life. He wants us to be good to others. He wants us to serve him. But these things do not bring us salvation. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. I am your rest. I have made a new creation. Jesus worked up until the time he was on the cross, and then he laid down his life. And therefore, the Bible says that Jesus himself is our finished rest. Therefore, we today, we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. In fact, there are many passages of Scripture, and I'm going to just barely mention them, that tell us that this is the Lord's day today. Revelation chapter 1 says, verse 10, that Sunday is, the first day of the week, is the Lord's day. And the Old Testament Sabbath is never called the Lord's day in the same way it is called in the New Testament. The Calvary rest is called the Lord's Day. And that's the rest that we enter into when we come to Christ. So today, we're not working, we're not doing things in order to be saved. When we ask Jesus to be our Savior, he forgave us of all our sins. That's what we celebrated at the table. And now we have rest in Christ. We have a tremendous freedom. You know, let me just mention these seven facts real quickly. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, Mark 16:9. Jesus met with the disciples after the resurrection on the first day of the week, John 20. The Holy Spirit was imparted to the disciples on the first day of the week, John 20. He went into the upper room and he said to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. Later, the day of Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came in a unique way to indwell believers. Acts chapter 2, on the first day of the week. The book of Revelation was given on the first day of the week. The early church worshiped, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. And on the first day of the week, believers took their offerings and gave them to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. So today's the first day of the week. It's the day in which we worship the Lord. And we're starting this week right by worshiping our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament Sabbath. He transformed us, and we can call it Calvary rest, or the rest provided for us by Christ. Now, in closing, just let me mention this. People ask the question, well, you know, in the Old Testament, there were a lot of regulations. You couldn't build a fire on the Sabbath day. You couldn't take too long of a journey on the Sabbath day. I think it was something like 2,000 feet, the distance between the Garden of Gethsemane and the center of Jerusalem. There were a lot of requirements for the Sabbath day. Don't miss this, please. This is important. The Bible does not give us any rules for the day today, for the Lord's day. I'm going to repeat that. It's very important. Because there are people, in fact, I've heard people who said they went to churches where there were all kinds of regulations for the Lord's day. The Bible does not give any rules for the day of the Lord, the first day, the Lord's day. We need to be careful that we do not take the Old Testament rules for the covenant Sabbath and apply them to Sunday today, the Lord's day. Okay? Now, let me say this. Stay with me for just a couple more minutes. Is Sunday a special day? Absolutely, yes, it is. The fact that you're here worshiping God today shows that there's something in your mind and thinking that says, you know, God wants me to worship Him. In fact, God does want us to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him on the first day of the week. But please keep in mind, as you go into the New Testament, there's no list of rules of what you should do. And so people on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now people say, ask questions like this. Is it okay to watch TV on Sunday? Is it okay to go to a ball game? Is it okay to go to the lake? Is it okay to read a newspaper? Listen, please keep this in mind. There are groups of people across the country who feel that the regulations of the Sabbath day are brought over to the Lord's day. And that's not true. I mean, we've got to go by the Bible, do we not? So if somebody's asking the question, what kind of things do you think I should do on the Lord's Day? You know what I do? I ask the Lord. I say, Lord, is it okay for me? You know? He may say to you, He may say, yeah, there's things you can do on the Lord's Day. And because there are things you can do on the Lord's Day. Very, very, very quickly, I'm going to run just a little bit later. If you were to put a list down and say, okay, what are the things that God wants me to do on? You could do it, but I did it for you. Okay? Here we go. First one is what we're doing right now. On the Lord's Day, God wants us to worship. I don't know about you, but when we're on vacation, we always try to go where we can worship the Lord, right? We're on vacation. Now, does that mean, stay with me now, does that mean if you're on vacation, there's no church nearby, and you know, you got your family with them, and that if you don't go worship the Lord with other people in a church building, that you're disobeying God? No, not necessarily. You can worship God. You can say, okay, we're going to pray to God together. We're going to read a passage of Scripture. But the point is, Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we have in our minds and thinking the fact that, yes, the Lord wants us to meet with His people on the first day of the week. Okay, we got that one. Worship. Secondly, there needs to be joy. You know that I enjoy coming to this fellowship. I mean, I love this fellowship. I really do. We fellowship together. We have joy together. And by the way, the first words of Jesus to the women after the resurrection were, does anybody know what the word was? One word. Rejoice. Got a reference for it? Matthew 28:9. There are many things for which we have to give thanks. In fact, it says in Acts chapter 2 that the early Christians broke bread together like we did, and they had joy and gladness of heart. You know, they weren't somber. They enjoyed partaking of communion. Worship, joy, activity. You see, not activity on the Sabbath, yes, activity on the Lord's Day. Jesus said to His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel on the first day of the week. Jesus even said to the women, tarry along, go along and tell my brethren that I've risen from the dead. Activity. And there's a lot of other things that you can see in the New Testament that Christians did on the Lord's Day. Worship, joy, activity. And obviously, one of the principles that we draw from the Old Testament day of worship is that it certainly may be a day of rest. And I do believe that God designed our bodies to work 6 days, but not seven. Okay? Now you can quote me on that. You can say, boy, our pastor today said, God doesn't want us to work 7 days a week. I'm going to hang on that one good. Of course, I may hang because I said it, but I'm staying with it's what I mean. Okay? I believe the body was designed by God to work 6 days. In fact, the Lord's Day is a day in which we focus on God. We're here to be refreshed by the Word of God. We're to be refreshed physically on the first day of the week. We're to be refreshed mentally, emotionally, and spiritually because it is the Lord's Day. Israel had the Sabbath day, but we have the Lord's Day. And even in the Old Testament, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in him. God gave us a pattern for himself, for us, by himself, for us. 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh day, it should be a day of rest. So God wants us to make sure, yes, we may work six, but the Lord's Day is a day in which we can worship him, experience joy together in the family of God, experience activity of doing things together, and yes, since we work hard during the week, we certainly can rest even on the Lord's Day. Let's pray together.